You know the joint where they get into the room and like where they go and like to the like station and they got all of this information. They trying to brief the board when he walking fast and shit.
Everybody walking.
Yeah, everybody walk.
Like, and he never look at him either.
He's like always looking down.
Looking forward.
They always get a nigga a random folder. They're like Devin Smallwood. He's like, what we got? Devin Smallwood, track star in high school, crack dealer, murderer of people.
His whole life is track star in high school, crack dealer.
They're like, what happened in between that? Like,
how to get or like so, before the track.
But you ever know like the boss
track
like
and crack,
like. Whoever like runs the department don't really give a fuck what they talking about. It's like, just get it done.
The
chief don't care how you get it done.
And y'all get that thick ass mustache. Like,
I don't care. I want his ass off the streets.
But then they always go try to do it. And there's always like explosions and orange car destruction. And as soon as they get back, the mayor's going to have my ass.
You're like, Mr. Rodriguez called again and you knocked his oranges and documents over. Again!
And they always list like exactly what they messed up. Like, you destroyed half a city block, three squad cars. You're off the force. You're off the scene.
You keep on bringing up this track star shit, but I need this track record.
But then the cops say some cliche shit like, oh, well, if you don't want to get the job, then don't call us then. Or something dumb shit like that.
Right. He's like, and then they give him that ultimatum at the end. They're like, if you don't have him in by 9:37 p.m. tonight, I'm going to have your badge and gun. And you're done, Williams. And then Williams just standing there like,
he looked at his partner.
It's going to be a long night tonight, John.
You got to figure it out.
Like, John called a wife.
Call the wife.
We're in for an all night
commercial. Isn't a commercial? Right.
Everyone says the wife as if they share a wife or something like that.
John, call the wife. We're in for a long night.
Then at some point during the episode, they need some help, so they call like the computer ace Murphy and shit.
Yo, always the computer ace.
Always Murphy. You're right though.
Nigga's name is always Murphy.
Yo, the computer ace named Murphy. He has got the fucking headset with the jar right here.
They always talk about some shit they don't know about.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like, so what are you saying here? Well, if I tap into the algorithms here, if I tap into the A squared plus B squared equals C squared Pythagorean theorem here, it will show that his track record turned into a crack record pretty quick.
But there's only that one dickhead cop that's like not being cooperative, like tell us something we don't know.
So and then like Murph always break down the science, and then somebody just, can you break that down in layman's terms? Like,
what do you mean, Poindexter?
Disrespect Murph. Right?
Yeah, but then when they disrespect Murph, then like you got the for some reason the forensic science John Brittany or whatever just comes out and explains it for him, and then like goes off.
And then them dickheads still don't know. Like, so tell us what we need to know. And they're like, he sells crack. Right. He's like, My God.
If I triangulate his location, we can base his stasis off of this point. Like,
what are you saying?
And she's always like, he's at the warehouse.
The warehouse.
Put the vest on.
I knew it.
It's funny because she's Murphy's only friend.
Yo,
we gotta do this. We gotta
say it's not an algorithm. He said A squared plus B squared C squared. He said track right to a crack record real quick.
So that one cop, you just take the one part that's not important. He'd be like, real quick, huh?
They're like, tell us what we need to know.
Real quick. Tell us what we need to know.
And then the shelf cracked.
My gosh.
But then that should be something deeper, at least the police corruption or some shit like that. And like the mirror.
To another edition of the Glorious Bastards podcast. This is E-Haas and the Bastards in the building. Minus two. Bastards, introduce your damn self.
What's happening? It's your boy Sprat. I'm back live, niggas.
What's happening?
I'm back.
Nah, Ayo got the soul.
Ayo got the motherfucking scissors. And we got Ant-Man, of course.
Mm-hmm. Even though we missing two, I'm just saying they could have called in also.
Man, I'm glad them suckers ain't here. You know what I mean? I get to talk about them now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Them nut ass niggas. Say no.
I mean, they are. It was one nut ass nigga occupying my seat while I was gone. Well,
oh, yeah,
on remote.
He was occupying your seat. And Reef and Elijah are off this week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we back. How y'all brothers doing today? Everybody good?
Not bad. Yeah, good. Chilling, man.
I had a, therapy session. I've been going to therapy for a couple years now. Mm-hmm. For those who know me, know I needed therapy. I still need therapy. But I'm not going to bring it down, but I'm just saying I had a therapy session. And I was going through a couple things. You know, people know me personally. They know I'm going through a couple things right now. But yeah, I was talking to him, and I just want to leave y'all with, I want to start the podcast off with a positive thought. So I was really stressing about some things going on in my life. And one thing that was I was reminded is that life is 10% of life is the things you can't control. 10% of it are the things that happen to you that you don't know how to change it. You can't change it. And like you're stressed out. Like, oh my God, you know, acts of God, whatever the case is, death in the family. Those are the things you can't control. The 90% of the weight of your life is how you react to that 10%. And I had to really think about that and all the things that happened in my life and continue to happen in my life is, yeah, you the things you can't control, you can control how you react to it. And then control what you can from there on. Mm-hmm. So I had, you know, I just wanted to bring that because I was thinking about that today because I was overwhelmed this morning. And by, I don't know, I woke up around 5 this morning. I was overwhelmed. And then by about 6:30, I felt good. So I had to meditate. Meditating hard as shit, y'all. I'm going to just be real.
Like, it's not easy practice, but once you do it.
Yeah, once you get it. But it's actually an art. Like,
yeah,
meditation is an art. Like, and that's something like one of these episodes or something. We'll have a serious episode about it. But like, that shit is an art, dude. Like,
it's art and you have to be consistent with it.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, I'm fine with saying it, but I suffer from ADHD, like for real, for real. Like, medicated ADHD, like I can't stay still. So like it's hard for me to even pay attention and lock in on one thing and stay on it like throughout the day. So like meditation helped me outside of the medication. So I do meditation over medication. Before you medicate, meditate. Like that's what I would say to people who take medication. Think about it. You can train your mind, and the more you train the mind, the less medication you'll need. And I needed to focus on being in the now a lot more. So like, I just wanted to kick off the episode a little different this time because I really did have something on my mind. So yeah, but other than that, I mean, I'm good, man. I feel good. You know what I mean?
That's important.
Positive yeah. Hygiene, you know what I'm saying? I was doing, like I said, a lot of mental inventory and accountability. We're going to talk about that somewhere down the road. Do some positivity, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, man, you know. But we back with the shits, you know what I'm saying? And had a good week. Everybody had a good week? Everybody
yeah.
chilling?
Yeah. It was solid. Yeah.
Solid week. Spratt back in the building.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? First on the board, we got this Meghan Markle, Prince Harry situation. Is anybody paying attention to this show?
Yeah, to be honest with you. I don't know who they are, and I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what that.
Like yes and no. Like yeah. I'm not like it finds its way to me, but I've never sought it out.
Yeah,
know
like,
what I mean?
I know what's going on, but I don't care.
Yeah,
it's one of those. Yes, it's an unfortunate situation, but what is the point of it? Two, bloodline of racism, all the other shit. What do you expect?
That's my point.
And then three, what is your main goal of doing this? I don't understand the end game of this at all.
You talking about Meghan Markle, like
yeah, well, Meghan Markle and Oprah, like I don't understand the end game. Like, yes, y'all are trying to escape the family that's been terrible people throughout history.
Yeah,
like they're horrible people. But what's the end game? Because it seems like you guys are out. So what are we doing?
I think it's a bit of the bag. The bag. I mean, now they're out of the royal family or whatever. Yeah. They got to get a bag. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Meghan's about anyway. Even though she's, you know, I believe that there's a genuine side to it. But I think that, you know, she just wanted to tell her side of the story, especially leaving the royal family, and she probably getting bad press over there from my man Piers Morgan. I think he was like snapping because like they met, or they had, they, like, she stood him up for a date, or
is that the boy that walked off the show?
Yeah. He butt hurt because the night they were supposed to go out, they went out. He thought the thing went well. It didn't. He sent her on a cab, and that's when she met old boy, and they got married.
Yeah. So, I mean, who wants to be with Piers Morgan anyway?
Yeah, and that's why he walked off show and then got fired.
Yeah.
Well, resign, quote unquote.
So, but the point is about that is, like, the reason I'm bringing it up is because, honestly, why is everybody so infatuated with the royal family? Why are you surprised that this 98-year-old prince and queen? That's so weird to me. Like, the boy's a prince because they can't have a king or some shit. So the boy's a prince.
Yeah, Prince, what is it, Edward or
Prince William, whoever this boy. First of all, no prince looks that old. Like, when you think of a prince, you think Prince Harry or a younger.
He's a charming looking.
Prince is supposed to be young.
Prince just had like a heart transplant or something. Yeah, he's like, he looks like one of the Rockefellers or something. Like,
he's like the Gravedigger.
Yeah, he looked like the Rocker. You know how his eyes are just like, you know how the inside of your eye, the pink side inside of your eye, like, his whole eye looked like that. Like, that's showing.
He looks like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he looked like one of them old dogs. Like, they need to be put down. Like, fam, why are you shocked that this dude is racist?
Yeah, first of all, they have a lineage of racism. Like,
fam, he's been around since the Revolutionary War. He's racist.
He's right. Like, the bloodline is racist. The bloodline had slaves. The bloodline had slaves.
Like, yo, why are you shocked as a black woman? You over there in the royal family, and they old as shit. Like, the queen isn't she married to the boy?
I think.
But she's married to the prince, but she's the queen, and he's the prince.
I don't know how that weird shit goes.
But they old as shit, and they both old, they both still alive. So, of course, they like, been around since the 20s, the 10s.
Yeah.
So, like, they feel a certain way about some black woman in there marrying a white son. Like, that's just what it is. And my thing is,
you was like, oh, I didn't know. Nigga, you have Google.
Yeah,
you have the world in your palms, literally.
Fam, Prince Harry is Princess Diana's son, right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so yeah, Harry is Diana's son.
Harry and his brother are Diana's sons, and their dad is whatever his name is.
Fam,
I think it's Prince William of Sussex. Some of this shit.
Bottom line is, that's my point. Like, the reason I'm bringing it up is because, why are we shocked? Why do we care? Big ups to Meghan folk. Moving out of that shit.
Yeah, and big ups for Harry leaving too.
Standing up to his family or whatever.
Which is a result of what happened to his mom, so I understand it.
Yeah, they chased her ass and killed her.
They literally killed her. The British tabloids killed her.
Yeah, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm into them conspiracy theories, but that's a whole other story for another day.
We know the royal family murdering niggas for ages, but this is fine.
That's what they do, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And that's part of why I think they did it also.
Wow.
So, in case something happens, you know why it happened.
Right. That's true. Like, why they went on Oprah, why they doing all of this. Mm-hmm. Because they could have some hitters on their head.
Yeah,
like,
they could.
And it's like, I wouldn't be surprised, you know what I mean? So,
I'm not surprised you have old world hate and old world money. So,
yeah. I never thought, like, the Brits had, like, guns. But they do got a couple straps over there.
They got straps. They got shivs and knives and all of that shit.
I still be thinking, like, you ever see the soldiers that be standing there?
What's their name?
And they stand there straight and shit, and they don't move. But I don't know why. I went down this YouTube rabbit hole of niggas, watching people messing with them.
Yeah, and they're not
moving.
And
them snapping out. Like, they snap out. They start screaming at you, like, stay away from the queen or some shit like that. Like, I feel like that's their only weapon. Like, I feel like all they do is scream, stay away from the queen. Like, you just get closer. Like, stay away from the queen! Like, they just all just scream.
I mean, you still got the British version of the CIA and all other shit down there, so.
Yeah, fucking man.
Yeah, of course.
But nah, but yeah, I don't know, man. I think that we shouldn't care as much as we do.
We shouldn't, but people are always enamored with celebrities, and then, like, oh, we didn't know this. Like, how don't you know this? History tells you this.
Honestly, that's probably, I don't even know who, like, yo, I didn't even know who they were. I didn't even dive into, like, the Oprah interview, nothing. I'm like,
I didn't care for them.
They're not really, they, pop culture. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
Even though me and Meghan Markle got a beef because she ruined the show Suits for me, but that's cool.
But I think she'll have a... And she's going to try to salvage whatever career she can have after this all calms down.
Oh, it's going to turn to... Of
course. She'll get the bag over here.
She's going to get the bag. It's going to turn to a platform of like, oh, they're going to have a podcast or like some type of show and some other shit.
You're going to get like a reality show.
Yeah, they're going to turn to like the Fortune.
Yeah, Meghan and Harry. Like, mm-hmm. They'll just remove the prince. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, man.
But you can just almost see it coming. Yeah,
The
interview almost seems like the rollout for what would be a reality show.
And like, it's going to be
on own network.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's going to be on own. That's why Oprah's involved. It's like, we see what you're doing. Whenever it happens, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
But like, why are you, like, my thing is, why are you spilling all this shit that people kind of could figure out?
Well, because it's 2021. Everybody's, it's a very hypersensitive culture and it's a very aware culture. I'll say that in a positive way, where you kind of don't let certain shit fly anymore. So you kind of want to at least paint a different picture, make it well known. Like, we know, but some people still are enamored with the Brits. People are enamored with the royal family. And like, it's time to be like, nah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be. I'm not gonna
they
be
old. They racist.
They old and racist. I'm not gonna be enamored with somebody who looks like mashed potatoes. Like, the fuck is that?
you said the prince and the queen look like mashed potatoes. Yo, mashed Elizabeth. Yo, yeah, mashed Elizabeth.
Yo, mashed Markle.
Yo.
Yeah,
man. Good luck to them, man, and whatever they doing. I don't really know. Yeah, man.
And shout out to the Prince Harry suiting up for the Colts next season.
Pretty much, he gonna suit Prince Harry. Yeah, he do look like Carson Wentz, guys.
Suiting up for the Colts.
Yo, he do like Carson Wentz, guys. Mm. Anyway, next up,
More family business.
let's talk more family business. We on next
family business.
I did it.
Yeah.
Yo, nah.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, at the end of the call, he turned into Pinky from Next Friday.
You did. It sounded just like him.
That didn't even sound like Kirk Franklin. I mean, I believe it was him.
But. Oh, yeah. He was so mad.
He responded to it, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It is what it is, though. At the end of the day.
He a man.
You a man and you a father. Like, yo, you... Not saying because you're a father, you can't talk to your kid like that. Yo, his son, what, 33, you said?
His son, 30. He in his 30. Once you hit 21, fam.
It's all right.
Once you hit 18, fam. You
might. It don't matter, yo.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, it's corny that he recorded it because it sounds like he's, when he started recording, Kurt Franklin was responding to something that he said.
Yeah.
Or that he did.
He started recording it, and he started recording it after he said what he said. He called him to mess with him, and you're recording it, and at the end he was like, was that a threat? Like, right. He said that he was like, was that a threat? Was he threatening me?
And then my thing is, like, it sounds like a response to, like, even though Kurt's not right for this, him and that son, they've always had problems. Like, Kurt even called him a regret on the show Black Love and some other shit.
Oh, shit.
So, it's like, they've been not on the same accord.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who was ever with his son said he kind of antagonized him into that, which isn't right at all, but the response was still drawing, too.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, like, everybody looking at... I look at it like this. If I'm having a situation, a fallout like that, and I'm estranged with a family member, I don't care what my positive light is looking like in terms of my show business. And the only reason that his son even put this out there was to take his own dad down.
Yeah, he was trying to take him down.
Because you knew what your dad's image was, and you knew what he's painted at, and you tried to paint him. But all you did was paint him human, in my opinion.
No, you made him. Like, made him a human figure. Like, from whatever.
Dad, like, you told him shut the fuck up. And he said, "Yo, the way he said it, I thought a gospel beat was about to drop." He was like, "Nigga, damn, I'll break your fucking neck."
Had an organ.
Damn, fun. Like the choir in the back, like, break your fucking neck, nigga. Like, they bring it. He's like, I'm gonna break your neck, nigga.
Fucking featuring Busta Rhymes.
I'm gonna break your neck.
He said, break your neck. I'm trying to tell you, cuz. Like, he said, yo, honestly, he didn't say anything out of the ordinary. I don't think because he's Kirk Franklin, he's not
above being human. And then like people on all sides of the fence about it. Like people supporting Kirk. And you got people that's like, oh, you shouldn't talk to any child because of trauma, blah, 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 blah. But you're ignoring the fact that that's a response to whatever old boy said.
Yeah, and on top of that,
he's not a child.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he was like 12 or 8 or something like that, Kirk Franklin, like, yeah,
like you drew,
like, even a teenager like or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
even a 15-year-old, I'd be like, yo, come on, man. Yeah,
but you're a grown man and you know what you're doing. Like, you're manipulative.
He's recording it.
Trying to get sympathy and.
You can't be 33 trying to expose your pop. You can't be 33 trying to expose your pop.
But that's what he's doing. And like, whatever y'all relationship is, good, bad, or ugly, whatever it is, apparently y'all not on the same accord because of whatever shit that he's in and you feel about, or whatever shit that you've done he feels about. Why would you try to expose the recording?
Right. And it's like, whole thing about people, like, not only talking about how he talked to his son, but they talking about this. In general, how he was cursing. They're like, oh yeah, Kirk Franklin cussing Kirk Franklin. I'm like, your average churchgoer does still curse. And it's like, I understand like the way he was cursing and like why he was doing it probably upset y'all. But it's like, it's only because it was brought to y'all. Yeah. And because y'all know him to be
and
a
you
gospel
only see
artist.
Him while only, he's on. Like while he's Kirk
while
Franklin.
While he's Kirk Franklin. Yeah. But like, no, like when he's just
Kirk Franklin,
the dad outside of like
the man,
GP Kirk Franklin. No, I'm Kirk motherfucking Franklin. Like I'm the real Kirk Franklin.
And people act like Christians don't curse. Like, come on now. Everybody from every religion curse.
Yeah. That makes me respect you even more. Like, when you try to act holier than thou, I lose respect for you. So when you got, and shout out to Taylor, Pastor Taylor Martin,
shout out to
AKA
Taylor.
Toby Vent. She has her own church, Promises Church. Yeah. And that's the one thing I love about her church and churches like that. Where it's come as you are. Like,
their churches are relatable. Like, her church, the Black church, I know for sure, they're super relatable as well. Like, you come out as you're human. Now, you're not better than anything.
Yeah, and then also, that's why secular churches, that's why the churches now get upset. And they, instead of, like, you sow division by, like, not being welcome to young people. And then all you do is chastise them when they get there. So, of course, no young bull is going to want to walk into a church and be like, I'm not coming here to get chastised by some old-ass motherfuckers who can't pay their mortgage asking for me to put money down and shit for them.
Yeah, or got whole things on the other side of the city. That's what the separation between spirituality and religion is.
Yeah, like you could be spiritual without being religious.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's what people... That's the judgment of churches... throws people off. That's why they don't want to fuck with your church,
right?
Or like, fuck with you. And then you're supposed to be my spiritual leader, but you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. Like, and the thing is, though, if you're a spiritual leader and you show your flaws, all of us are supposed to be short of God. Like,
yeah, nobody's perfect. And,
yeah, all of us are supposed to be short of whatever higher power you believe in. If you do believe in Jesus Christ or whatever the case may be, we're all supposed to be short of that.
Yeah.
So for you to walk in here and act like you're not, I don't believe you. So if you walk in here and I can relate to you and you're giving me the word and translating it in a way that I know, in a way that I can feel it, instead of talking down on people. I've went to churches where they're coming at Muslims there. And I'm like, fam, you're doing the most. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, like the one boy, I forgot the song, but like literally he walked in.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He was just like it was Muslims in the crowd. Like, they might have just been there in support.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a funeral, fam. You out here doing Muslim diss tracks at funerals during eulogies. Like, you doing Muslim diss tracks as, like, a eulogy. Like, do not preach over my casket and start dissing Muslims.
Yeah, like, you're doing that for no reason. They're here to show me love because whatever happened. And then, with that, you're dissing other religions, which makes no sense to me. And also, you're dissing people for sexuality or belief system, like, the point of religion is supposed to be a better person. Just everybody a better person, right?
You're supposed to come in there with the value, the positive values. Like, we all fall short. We sin every day. So the person who's cursing is no worse than the person committing adultery. And committing adultery can be of the mind as well. Yeah. So the minute you think of another woman, it's considered a sin. Quote, so unquote. You might want to revise the book at this point.
First of all, that book's been revised like a billion times.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to get too knee deep into that.
That's another episode.
Start going into the, that's another episode. To the Bible in a minute. And but the point is, though, about Kirk Franklin is, first of all, Kirk Franklin music is even borderline. Like, you know this motherfucker cursed.
Yeah.
Like, you just hear his music.
You be waiting for a nigga to drop it.
Yeah. You waiting
like, for that. Do you want a motherfucking revolution, nigga? Like, you can just, I don't know how you can feel all of that on that beat, but you just feel like, do you want a revolution, nigga? Woo, woo. Like, you can just hear it. Like, there's a nigga that needs to be in that
his
song.
Music,
like,
his music is definitely influenced by secular music.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely secular
but
music.
But it should be.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to connect to the youth and the youth is going to carry on your church, you might want to go ahead and reach out to them. And that's the problem. Like, the generation before, they don't ever want to reach out. Yeah. So the young boy, you're supposed to guide these young boys. You can't get mad at them and then go, where are the parents? You're the leaders.
You're the leaders. You're supposed to guide them, but you chastise them to the side. And then you get mad when they do some shit, when there was no leadership or guidance to push them, to pull them with you.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I can't respect that. So, like, somebody like Kirk Franklin, I ain't mad at you, bro.
No.
33-year-old man, whatever, was dissing you, and that's your son. First of all, he told him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So, being in a religious household, I'm assuming, like a chill religious household like Kirk Franklin's house, I'm sure that he don't play that back talk shit, no matter what age you are.
Yeah, right? But I think that son is from before his marriage, so they... Like,
yeah,
they've all, like, he talked about in the Black Love documentary, like, they never really got along because of the situation.
Yeah.
Even though the way Kurt was phrasing it, he was wrong for that.
Right.
Saying, like, oh, he's a regret and mistake, blah, blah, blah. So it's never been a court.
Yeah, and that's fine, but the thing is, okay, you got a riff with the person, and whether you're right or wrong with the riff,
it's all about how you talk to people, though. Yeah,
but don't try to make it like you ain't say. Like, let's hear the whole conversation. Like,
you said some shit to get him in there.
Yeah, he ain't just start like, he just like, hello, dad. He's like, hello, dad, I'm going to beat your bitch ass. I'm going to break your fucking neck.
You said something to get him there, and then two, like, apparently the person that's with him said that, like, Kirk Franklin even offered, like, let's go to the mediator to work some shit out, and then you denied it. Then you started recording on the bullshit.
Yeah, it's somebody doing some. Just the fact, like you said, that it was recorded, it's like,
it's some whole shit.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think
if you don't expect your pop to get with you.
Yeah,
what?
Kirk ain't do nothing wrong.
Yeah,
he didn't need to apologize. He didn't need to say, you know, anything. He could have just left that shit alone. He could have said, you know what, I would have loved if Kirk would have came out and was like, I said what I said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
That'd have been gangster.
I said what I said. Praise God.
Praise God.
I would have went out and bought everything. Lucky I ain't stomp on his head.
Or if he would have, like, doubled down what he said and used whatever Bible verse that's applicable to that situation and then use that, it'd have been lit.
Why not? Like, yeah, I mean, I'm looking for the gospel diss to his son that he going to drop. He going to drop a crazy gospel diss. He going to have, like, he going to have Tamala Man on that joint. Like, he going to... He gonna go crazy.
He gonna
stomp him to the king. Like,
he gonna use a
stomp him.
He gonna remix stomp and put it to the stomp by Young Buck.
Yeah, Young Buck.
Yeah, and he gonna say he gonna take the sample from his say break his neck and put it on a break your neck beat.
Yo,
you imagine Kurt Franklin on a break your neck beat by Busta Rhymes?
Zany ass beat.
He's a fuck. Spliffing the hash. Oh. This said Busta and Spliff was making out. Kissing. What kind of shit was we talking about?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
He said, oh, Spliff. Spliffing the hash. Spliffing the hash. Oh, I digress.
Yo,
Kurt, do your thing, man.
Yeah,
when you see
a
man sock on that young boy, man, say, like, no, don't do that. But nah, that's a family quarrel. That's a little, you know what I mean, situation y'all had. It shouldn't have been recorded. It was none of our business, but Here we are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this is where we live, and everybody want to expose shit.
Everybody want to expose everything.
Well, honestly, instead of exposing, why don't y'all just try and work that shit out? Talk to whoever I need to talk to and mediate, and then go from there.
Everybody got family beef, man. It's not for everybody. Everybody got family business. It's not for everybody to know what's going on, man. You know what I mean?
It's nobody's business, but you try to make it the roads business for your own agenda.
Man. I don't respect that, man. He was trying to get off. He was trying to get on based off of what he did.
No, he was.
He was trying to expose his dad.
It's some more cloud chasing shit.
Yeah, cloud chasers. Cloud chasers, you never prosper, man. That shit fades. Like, that shit fades away after a while. You know what I'm saying?
You get high from one song, that's a rap.
I feel like he got himself. I feel like he told on himself anyway gave himself up by, like you said, telling his dad to shut the fuck up. It's not like, all right, you don't just say that like easily. Like if you could just easily say that to your pop, there's something wrong there.
Right.
Like, that means your relationship is somewhere else.
Yeah, your relationship ain't really that tight, because I wouldn't dare even part my lips to say that to my dad.
For nothing.
For this. Just like, even if my dad is going off on me, I'm not going to tell him, yo, dad, shut. But that don't even sound right saying dad before that.
Right.
Yo, dad, shut the fuck up. Like, no, dog.
Fam,
no.
Y'all going to be hearing about me on Channel 6.
Yeah, I'm going to be on Channel. I don't even. Yo, you're going to hear about me on Channel 7. They're going to cover my shit on ESPN.
They're going to cover that joint on Family Matters.
I'm like, Steve, why are you here? Because Family Matters, and it didn't matter to A.O. And he got cussed out by Thomas.
Wait, imagine Steve telling Carl, yeah, look, Carl, shut the fuck up.
Steve told Carl to shut the fuck up. His voice don't even be like, Urkeley no more. It's just be little white. He'd just be like, you know what, Carl? Yo, shut the fuck up. He's like, he's just straightening his body up to the glasses. He's like, shut the fuck up.
You don't see him in the step on fast
and shit. He's like, did I do that? Like, Steve!
He's like, why don't you? He just put his hand up. And I'm like,
Carl!
Shut the fuck up.
It ain't no machine to turn into turn back into step on and nothing.
And the crowd like,
everybody like confused.
But then he turned from Jill to like Trey Rance, like, what you gonna do?
Carl not gonna know how to respond. Not in that way, in real life or like as Carl
Wilson. That's the one time you hear the crowd not make a cliche like audience noise, like a laugh or you just hear like, what the fuck?
You hear like somebody. You hear somebody leave. You hear somebody. Oh, what the fuck?
He's still breaking character. And like he turned to Jalil. He's like, yo, Reginald, what the fuck you trying to do?
Yo, Reginald, what the fuck you trying to do?
and he's just like, you hear Harriet's character. Oh, just a second.
Ricardo, you'd be like, I'm Carl Steve. But Jaleel, obviously, has broken character. Like, you're pulling his pants up. He's like,
He's like, no, Reg, what you moving for? What you trying to get into?
Yo, he on TV calling him Reg.
He's just like,
he calling him Reg.
Well, Steve.
He's like, no,
Reg. I, Carl Winslow, don't want to do anything but get you out the house because you're Steve Urkel on Family Matters.
And then somehow Eddie comes in and is like, trying to break something. No, and then Jalil's like, no, fuck that, Darius. No,
Darius. Hey, here I am, Dad. It's Eddie Winslow.
Darius, just chill. Chill out. What's up,
Darius? It's me, Eddie Winslow.
Here I am, Dad. Eddie Winslow.
Dad, Carl Winslow. Dad. Excuse me, Steve Urkel. I'm Eddie Winslow.
He's like, no, Darius. What the fuck you trying to do?
Oh shit!
No, he just break character
trying to fight Reg. Yo,
what you trying to do, Reg?
He said, "Carl, Yo, shut the fuck up.
But if he was that dead serious on breaking character, why would he start with God? Why would he
still Urkel while he's saying
because somebody brings a snack.
Yo, he just snapped in the middle of it. He said, girl.
Yo, shut the fuck up.
He's like, well, I would, Steve Urkel, but I'm Carl Winslow, and I'm angry, and I'm on Family Matters.
He's like, no, fuck that, Rich. What are you trying to get into, yo?
He said, Eddie Winslow come out like.
He's like, nah, Darius.
Dad, Carl Winslow, Dad.
He's like, nah, Darius, what are you trying to get into? What's up?
Dad, Carl Winslow, Dad.
Carl Winslow, Dad. I'm Eddie Winslow, and this is Steve Urkel, and I'm here. Do you need help? And I'm here.
No, I'm here. Do you need help? And all the time. Yo, oh, the whole time Urkel not even moving, yo, he's still standing there holding his glasses like just staring at him. Like, he don't got no lines, he's just staring at him.
Back up, Darius, I got this. Look.
You mean Eddie? I'm Eddie Winslow, Steve Urkel. Family Matters, remember?
Right, no, he just cursed Eddie. I was like, nah, Darius, I told you shut the fuck up too. What's happening?
Darius.
He
was like, yo, I'll fuck you up too.
Yeah,
I'll
fuck you up too, dog.
Don't get it confused.
Don't get it confused.
Darius. Darius.
Right. Bitch ass nigga, he's fucking my face, Darius.
Next time I crash this car through this house, I'm gonna hit you next.
Then Harriet coming out with that trash ass outfit again. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Back up them steps. Carl, shut the fuck up. We didn't even know your real name. Get upstairs.
Get upstairs.
Yo, get upstairs. Get upstairs with your daughter that never came back down the steps.
Oh, yo. Shit.
All right. Yo. Yeah. Shout out to Family Matters, man.
Yeah, shout out to Family Matters, man. We got to have Reg on this show, man.
I've been trying.
That's my guy, dog.
Holy shit.
Oh, man.
He told me to shut the fuck up.
What's next on the docket here? What else happened?
Versus was sold.
Versus was sold. Oh, Trilla.
Yeah, man.
Thoughts?
From what it looks like a good deal, I guess, because I like how every artist that worked on Versus is getting like a percentage of
that's
it.
That's what stood out to me. I think that's the big part to me.
Like, I like that, but I want to know what's next for the platform.
So
me too.
So I was looking at the deal, and I'm on the fence about it. Like I understand that Triller's a bigger network. Mm-hmm. Like Triller can probably take Verses where it's never been, but I also think that. I wish, because I was looking into the equity thing. Yeah. The issue with the equity thing is they're all not getting equity in Triller. They're getting equity from Timbo and Swiss, right? So it's like somebody gave you a piece of a pie, and then we were like, oh, we got a piece of the pie. We all got a piece of the pie, but they only getting pieces of your piece. Right. So it's like they're all not getting share of Triller. Like Timbo and Swiss allocated their portions, which is still dope. I think it's very dope because they all eaten and they all made money off of off of this situation. But I'm looking, they sold the rights to Versus to Triller, and they're the brand visionaries and part of the management team. And I just wish we stopped selling our recipe. Like, I understand. Like, I get it. It's a part of...
It's a point of business.
It's a part of the business. I get that. But for me, I feel like make niggas come to you. Like, I just wish that we... They can't move without us. Nobody can. I don't feel like any part of this country can move without us.
Well, they can, but I guess the point, like, their thing in business is like, oh, we'll build something out, and then when it's at its peak... We sell, because I've heard from Rockefeller Biggs, like the point of the business is to build it up and then sell it at its highest point and whatever, then start something else and sell some shit like that. But I get what you're saying. I wish they would have kept it, and then me like more partnership network deals to build up as big as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you make them come to you. Like, you know that Versus is big. Versus be his own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Versus can be its own thing, and people come to you for it. Like,
yeah. Like, honestly, I wish I would have created, like, a Versus app, even though apps take forever to be created.
Yeah, I mean, even if they didn't do a Versus app, like, that's why they partnered with Trilla, because it takes a while for a Versus app where Trilla can...
They can roll it out because they have the means already.
Yeah, and I just have high hopes, and I hope that they keep it the way it is, but just grander, like just a bigger,
a bigger thing,
a bigger like, versus
like the presentation, like, bigger. Like, yeah, it's like more stuff to it.
Yeah, I feel like if it was just like, you know, like just all over the place, you can see it on, you know, on the app or whatever. I'm sure you could probably do like a pay per view, like they did the. I think they did. Oh, the fight. We were talking about the fight earlier. Yeah. I don't want to talk about what we were talking about, but I was watching that fight on Triller. And I think it would be dope to have like that on a bigger platform. But I think at the end of the day, people are going to watch the Versus regardless. Like,
they are, because it was a pastime for the, well, while we're still in the pandemic.
Yeah, and I think with the pandemic seeming like it's going to turn a corner, like, I guess, like, seeming like we're going to be back out in the street soon.
Probably quarter, probably third quarter, early fourth quarter.
Yeah, we'll be back out in the summer. They're going to let things open up. They ain't going to miss that summer bread. But they'll tighten it back up eventually.
Yeah, because, you know, we got these different variants and shit.
Yeah, that's a whole another story. But, yeah, I mean, I was looking at it like, you know, the equity thing is dope. I don't know. I try to find a silver lining in it. Because I'm happy. Because it looks like it was a major move.
Yeah.
For the entire Versus movement. I just don't want to see Blake Shelton versus Tim McGraw.
Oh, no, I don't.
And I feel like they're going to start trying to include everyone in this. Mm. And this all of a sudden gentrifies our Versus. And that's cool if it does, like... Cool, y'all making y'all money because y'all gonna figure out how to maximize the profit. So you're gonna be like, oh yeah, if we do this country versus, it's gonna go crazy. And it's just like they're gonna try to ease it in like the boy band versus. And we'll be in on that. We'll be like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. Yeah. Oh, we gonna watch that.
Oh, we gonna watch that. We gonna watch that. Because like I feel like they can within certain parameters. Like of course we're gonna let like. Justin in and because they were part of like
we gonna watch our,
we was part of that too.
Yeah, we gonna watch the White Soul.
But I feel like once you get to a certain outside circle, we was like, all right, that's not part of like
the culture. It'll be like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. I'm a check. I'm a tune in.
I'll check for that.
Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, cool. We'll tune into that. Like, but again, like for me, and that's just my opinion. Like. With this whole like selling it thing, I just don't want like I don't want our movement or something that we created again to turn into something for everybody else, and then we're just the people. Yeah, we're getting the share, we're getting money off of it, but again, like that whole model of building a business up and selling it, it almost keeps us at a ceiling. Like there are certain rooms that even our black billionaires don't have access to.
Yeah.
Like, there's like getting money, then there's like rich, then there's like rich as shit, then there's wealthy, and then there's like Illuminati wealth, which Jay is a part of, they say, and then there's this shit that don't even have a name yet. Like
Stratosphere wealth, like, or some shit like that.
Yeah, you got like they say the Bilderbergs and shit like
the Bilderbergs, the Bezos now.
Rockefellers. Like you have those people up there where it's certain rooms that we just can't get into. Again, like there's certain rooms we just can't get into. We have no access to.
We have no access into the rooms because one, we sell too fast when we think we're at a peak, and then two, it's kind of a narrow-minded thing. Like, oh, we're getting this deal now. Because whatever they give you a deal is your worth is 10 times more than that. And we fail to see that all the time.
I think if we just keep it and just say no.
Yeah, just keep it and just no, like...
No, it's just ours. We're going to keep this.
And then keep it and then hope, like, even though they're going to try to... It's not even black, but they're going to try and white ball you or whatever, but just keep pushing on.
Yeah, but at some point they make you an offer you can't refuse.
You can't refuse.
But then again, there's room, like, it seems like they have access to all of our rooms.
Yeah.
Every room. And there's not a room on this planet that we have that they won't either, they befriend us and get in the room, or they kick the fucking door down, like Black Wall Street.
Yeah, well,
Tulsa. You know, like, we get these places and they find ways to infiltrate us. They find ways to be like, oh, that's good. You should let me help you with that. Yeah. And then we sell. And we're like, oh, see, that's what we're supposed to do. But we feel like our ceiling, we're like, we've reached a peak. Like, we can't grow anymore.
Yeah.
When we actually, I believe we can. Like, I believe that we should have access, like, where they can't get into them rooms. Like,
yeah, it should be a way.
Yeah, real talk.
Like, it's never a ceiling. You can go past the ceiling, but it's the narrow-mindedness of it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I didn't feel like I said, I wasn't thrilled, no pun intended. I wasn't thrilled by the deal. But I wasn't, like, totally disappointed. But I was just like, damn, like, y'all were bosses. And now it's like, well, we did this for the greater good. We're going to move to management.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep the creative control. I get that. Like, keep the creative control and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, but at the same time, it's like, ownership, I think, is where it's at. Like, sometimes we got to just hold. Like, learn when to hold, like, and just be like, nah, we gonna keep this. Like, this is ours. Like, we not selling. We can partner with y'all, but we not putting y'all here, and we not going.
Yeah,
because they sold it to him, like, for the sake of the brand.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I'm saying? It would have been better with a true partnership. Because anytime they say, oh, we have a partnership, it's never a true partnership. You break that shit down. So they should have did a true partnership, and then I was shocked that they actually sold it to whatever the site is and shit.
Triller.
Because I thought they were going to sell it to Apple.
Yeah, the way they was playing on Apple.
The
way that they was talking about Apple, I thought that they were really going to sell to Apple too.
Yeah.
I ain't going
to
hold you.
I thought it was going to Apple, but whatever deal they had with Apple, the check must have been appropriate enough for them to go over to the other side.
Oh yeah, the check the check was always problem. Yeah. Like, you definitely them bags.
Oh yeah,
they
ain't released no number, but best believe they got some crazy bread.
Oh, they got a crazy amount of checks, and then that's when it was enough to, like, we can give people equity, quote unquote, so they wouldn't complain.
See, now the only thing I'm thinking is too, like, you know, they probably got some crazy amount of bread, but with that crazy amount of bread, I'm just afraid. The only thing I'm afraid of is that, like we said before, it comes with Blake Shelton versus Tim McGraw. Like, it comes with stuff like that. I don't want a big bag to come with stuff that'll, like,
compromise,
take people away. Yeah, because I hate to put it this way, but at the same time, it's like, yo, you don't want anything to make versus. You don't want to affect Versus to the point where it turns Black people away. I didn't want to say it like that, you don't want that. And it's like, but like you said, and it's certain parameters. Like, if you do NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys, it'll probably be your two cool people on social media, like, oh, they doing this. But you know damn well a lot of us we're gonna tune
in.
I'm gonna watch it. They was a part of everything at that time.
Because, like, they have, like, alright, NSYNC for a Backstreet has enough Black backing that people are going to tune in.
Exactly.
Now, we assume, like I said, they do country music, that from the demographic of country music, not a lot of Black people watch it. Some do, but not a lot.
Yeah.
So it takes away from, like, the culture that we created.
Exactly. Right. It's like the hockey of music. So it's like, you ain't, you know, people ain't really going, our people.
Yeah, our, like, really people that, like, they don't have a large populace of melanin.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Tell the truth, like, if you do a country versus, it'll probably do more numbers than a majority of the Black verses.
It will.
Gonna do more numbers.
And they're gonna use that as a chess piece, like, see how many views this got?
And then next thing you know, we're probably gonna be getting more and more and more shit like that, and then we gonna just...
You're gonna get pushed
aside. It's like we're not even gonna look forward to it, because it's like, it's probably just gonna be another
country John. It's gonna be like when we was all on Facebook wilding, and all of a sudden, all of our moms and aunts and older family members got like, all right, well,
I can't really draw here, man.
We used to be on there saying the wildest shit. Facebook used to be for college students. And that's a whole nother thing, because why do old people get on your status and start telling your business on the comment section?
Yeah.
Oh, like, I remember when you like, whoa.
Yeah, they're like, Lil Ernie, I ran into your mother the other day telling that John died. John that had the hepatitis. He died. Call my number. 215-27.
And the thing is, you know through all that, there was no type of punctuation at all. There was not one period, not one hyphen through the phone number.
Run on sentence. Like, yeah. This big ass run on sentence. Or then they can't understand, they don't understand sarcasm online. They don't understand when they take it personal when you don't like or comment or respond to them when they comment. Like, you looking good, boy. Looking just like your dad when he was younger. He used to be on Hoop Street and he used to be out there fighting every day. But then he met that lovely lady. Like, one long sentence. And it's like, fam, why are you on my... Like, this is a picture of my album.
See, that's when I get to Steve Urkel, John, when you pull the glass off, like, hey, yo, shut the fuck up. Hey,
yo, shut the fuck up, man.
No.
You put something up that, like, maybe it's a joke between us that we get.
Yes.
Or put something up, and then they'll be in your comments like, what does this mean? Like man, just get, like, come on. Man,
you know how many times I've gotten a call from my dad or my mom, both of them not on Facebook, but I got some snitching ass relative that's like calling people, but like, did you see what he posted on Facebook? Is he okay? And it'd be like a lyric or something.
Yeah, right.
He's like, he said he had time today. He's crossing a line today. Is he going to fight someone today? And I'm like, where
did
is he
not have time yesterday? Did he break his clock?
Yeah, he said he had time today. So what was yesterday like? Like, my dad, like, what was yesterday like for you, son?
Yo, first of all, that nut-ass question. If my dad had ever called me, it was like, hello? Yeah, what was yesterday like for you, son?
That question is
I'd be like, dad, hang up and call me back, man. Just hang up and call right back with a different attitude. Because what the hell was that?
I would just hang up and call back and, like, explain yourself. What do you mean?
No, listen, man. I don't understand that shit, though. I was really sitting there like, fam, why? Why are y'all on my Facebook just doing this? Like, and this don't have nothing to do with y'all. These are inside comments, inside jokes. Mm-hmm. They just like, you should, like, and then they come on and they start, like, trying to cuss my friends out because they don't know that they my friends.
Mm-hmm.
They
so we're joking on each other. No, fuck out of here.
You ass.
Yo, I had a family member come on there.
Is that the Rob thing?
It was with Rob. Yeah, the real Rob. So I had a family member come on the show, on the Facebook or whatever, and started, like, as Rob said, something about my music or something, and said, yeah, it's trash or something like that.
Obviously joking.
One of my family members hops on there and just starts caping, like, you wish you were as successful as him. You'll never be as successful as E-Haas.
That shit was snapping.
And Rob just going along with it. Like, yeah, I mean, I just don't think his music is that good. Like, I don't think it's that good. I'm sorry. I don't think it's that good. You will never be successful like him. You don't understand. We all support him. And he's like, well, I used to support him too. But I just don't think his music is that fire right now. I think he's kind of trash. Yeah. Like, and they would, like, going nuts. My cousin is hitting me up, like, don't worry, I got this. Like,
you don't.
And Rob on the other side, like, bro, I'm having too much fun right now. So, and then after a while, he just was like, all right, I'm done with the game. So she started disrespecting him personally or something. He's like, all right, I'm done with the game. He said, I was at his last show. When the last time you been to a show? And he started naming all of my songs that he liked. And he was like, have you heard any of these songs? And it was just like, you'll never be as successful as my cousin. Like, yeah. He just started going
that way. You gotta bring out the relationship.
Yeah, she was just like, you'll never be successful. I supported him since the beginning. You have no idea. And he's like, nah, I never seen you at a show. I know his family. Like, I've never seen you at a show.
I was just at the last show.
She's like, were you there at the last show? At this show? I didn't see you. And she was just like, I'm not gonna do this back and forth with you. I'm not doing this anymore.
That's always the line when you know you lost online. Yeah,
I'm like, I ain't about to do this with you, man.
You've been going back and forth all this time, and then you get smoked. Almost, I'm not doing this back and forth with you. You've been doing this back and forth with me. Rob dragged you out to the middle of the field and smoked you. Like, it was nothing I could do. Like, I just left. He was like, bro, I'm about to end it all right here. Watch. I'm like, oh, man, just go do your thing, bro.
That shit was entertaining as hell.
Mm-hmm. That had happened one time with, matter of fact, it happened with, remember, I think, Pop-Pop or something. My Pop-Pop had said something to somebody on Facebook. And it was like, it was like a joke. Like somebody said something like jokingly or something to us. And we knew it was. He hopped on there. He was like, hey, who asked you? Or something like that. And I think Uncle Donnie or you or somebody was like, yo, Papa, they were just joking. Like, he was like, well, all right. Well, where's your memory? So I'm like, yo, they don't be serious, yo. We know that they playing around. Like, everybody not serious on Facebook.
He said, hey, who asked you?
They don't be getting inside jokes at all.
Yeah, like, they never get inside jokes.
Fam, you can't ever have, like, soon as they made it where you didn't have to have a college email to be on that, John.
Oh, that's all right.
It was over.
Or, like, a .edu email to be on Facebook.
It was over.
Old people ruined the shit out of Facebook, dog. It was like, that turned into my, I had to turn it from Savage Haas to like Tyrese Haas. How to get out of your own way Haas. Like, I had to do that positive message shit.
And you couldn't be hit no bottle E Haas.
Yeah, I couldn't be hit no bottle E Haas. Yo.
Yo, I already know where you're about to go. I saw that dude. I commented back to Rob.
Yeah, all I was laughing.
Wow, that shit was hilarious.
Fam.
Don't that blow your mind a little bit?
Yeah.
It got to.
Dog, I was chilling in the morning, and I get a message from my brother, Make Wonders. We're going to post this, John, too. We're going to post it. I have this infamous picture that I took back in like 2008.
Oh, Tina Sotros weekend. I took that picture.
Tina Sotros weekend, yes. Sprad is the photographer of this picture.
Why'd you allow it?
Okay, we could talk about this weekend, but that's another story.
Yeah, about to, yes. Yeah, I mean,
that's a whole weekend. We're going to have refair when we relive that weekend. But just know, like, it was a savage weekend for myself. Weekend, I was drawling. Like,
he was wilding.
Remind me, next week, we're going to talk about that. But long story short, I got a picture that went up. I was holding a Hypno bottle. It was a bottle of Hypnotic, and I had my tongue out on the Hypnotic bottle. And when I posted it initially back in 08, it was cool back then. And it was like a thirst trap almost. Like, Jones was all like, oh, hey, like, whatever. But now I go back and revisit it, and I'm like, why did I do that?
Why did you do that at all?
So my brother texts me the other day out of nowhere. I'm minding my business. This is the problem with having a little brother. They come out of nowhere with this nut shit. Like,
you got to be thinking that, like, yo, hey, do I come out of nowhere with this nut shit?
You a little brother. You come out of nowhere with some nut shit.
When you was younger, not now. Say,
not now.
I don't know, man. You might, yo.
I got one story about when you were younger, but I'll let you tell your story first.
Long story short, pretty much, I woke up to this. I woke up, and he was like, he sent the picture of me holding the Hypno bottle just to warm it up. Holding the Hypno bottle and was like, mood last night. He just said, yo, bro. It's like 6 in the morning. I'm like, yo, bro. Now, mind you, if you know where we live, this makes it even worse.
Yeah.
If you know where we live, he's literally my next door neighbor.
Yes.
So we have a wall in between us, and all he's texting me. He's like, yo, bro. I'm like, yo, bro. He was like, and then he just sent the picture. I was like, mood last night for sure. And it was a picture of me holding a Hypno bottle.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and then I put LMAO. I'm like, yo. And then I got nervous. I'm like, wait. There's another picture.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, what, you thought I wasn't going to do a side-by-side?
Yo.
And he had a picture of himself with his tongue out to a Hypnotic bottle side-by-side with me in that infamous picture. And I was just like, I was done. I was just like, yo, like, I'm tired of you, yo. Like, why would you, like, it's 6 a.m. Like, what, like, made you just attack me like that randomly?
Off top.
Yeah. First thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. Yo, bro.
First thing in the morning, 13 years later.
Yeah. And you're probably in the midst of a hangover. Just said, fuck you.
Right.
He like, yo, bro, here come the nut shit. Like, what you mean? Like, my ass nigga, man. Go ahead, Ant. What was you going to tell a story?
Yeah, I want to know my nut ass.
I feel bad for taking the pictures.
No, oh, I think I told you this before. When my ex girlfriend back in the past, I was still living at home.
Yeah.
And I think we was in the basement or something. And I'm trying to get, you know, a little private time with her. But you was young to the point where, like, you would still, like, be coming in. Ant, what you doing?
Like, yo. Go ahead, because I do remember one time.
In my defense, I'm a nut ass.
I'm a nut ass little brother.
But so. I just remember, but you was like maybe, I don't know, 11 or something like that. But I'm like, I can't tell you what, I mean, now I can't, but I can't tell you in that moment what I'm trying to do. I'm just like, yo, go upstairs. Just go into a completely different room of the house.
You don't leave if you have to.
You don't have to be down here, but you just kept, like, you was doing some kind of annoying shit. Like, you would act like you was leaving, but then obviously you, like, poke your head down and peek down the steps.
Oh, I'm like, this makes me cringe. Like, look, I don't be thinking like this.
I just was like, Aaron, like, go upstairs. I'm like, yo, go play the game or something. That's when you had, like, the Sega in your room.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, go play that, John. Like, go anywhere.
Play it.
And it was just us home. Like, mom wasn't home. I'm like, yo.
Oh, I was drunk.
This is all I have right now.
Yo, I'm so sorry.
We still in, like, high school at this point. So I was like, it's not like, I don't have no, I can't take her nowhere.
Right.
So I had no car. Like, I'm just like, yo.
Yo.
I'm like, this is it. Like, this is it.
The basement.
This is a window of hours, however long mom is gone. This is all I have. I was like, go do anything else. And you just would not stop fucking playing with me, yo.
Yo, I'm so sorry, bro.
I will break your neck, nigga.
Yo, it's a real shit. No, it was one joint I do remember. I was down there. Specifically, I remember I had this basketball. And I was putting it, like, through both of my legs, because I guess I learned how to do it, like, real fast. And I remember asking y'all to look at me while I did it. And I was like, yo, look at this. I was coming up fast and shit. Well, some real shit now, thinking back to it, I was like, yo, they didn't give a fuck about my dribbling. Like, yo, I don't care if my dribbling was at 99. They didn't give a fuck. They just wanted to smash, like, in my
face. You're like, yo, get out!
Yeah.
Like, look at this!
Like,
no, yo!
The
fuck out of you, corny!
You're like, why? Yo, on some real.
Because at first I'm like, yo, this is impressive if it wasn't right now.
This is literally the most unimpressive thing I've ever seen you do because you're right here, right now.
He really wanted to say so bad, like, you are ass. Go upstairs. Yo, damn, yo. You know what? For my past self, I'm sorry. Because I would never do that now.
It's just little brother shit.
Man. I mean, little brother next.
He was a little kid, so it's just like, man, if you don't fucking. Like, I can't even, like, you're not even on the level yet where I can explain it to you. Like, where I'm like, yo, I'm trying to, like, yeah. You'd be like, what? And you would just keep dribbling.
Like, he could be like, I am dribbling fast. He's just like, yo, stop dribbling, I'm trying to fuck this. Stop dribbling, I'm trying to fuck, man. That's like going faster.
What does that mean?
Try to fuck. Start dribbling fast and shit.
He just go upstairs like your mom finally come home. He's like, mom, it's trying to fuck.
Yo, I'm dribbling for mom.
She's like, what? Trying to fuck.
Why is she dribbling? I'm like, mom, it's trying to fuck. She's like, wait a minute, trying to fuck. Pull out our pocketbooks and like, pull out a
yo.
Man, oh, shit. Those are those humbling moments, man. Damn. We're just like, yo, like, when you think back to it, it's like, yo, we was really in high school And it was just like, yo, this is it. Like, we only have this window. That's all you got is a guy in high school, like, have a window of time.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? You're right. And it's
that's
honestly
the joint.
And right y'all there. Probably had to deal with it more, including you, because, like, everybody, all y'all are big brothers. I'm not a big brother, so it was like I never had to deal with like
a little brother.
Like somebody, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't had to deal with no nut shit. No nut shit next to me. It was just like, all right, well, I'm gonna just do what I gotta do in the position that I'm in. But
right,
damn,
I had one story about that. We call an audible because I had got a story about that. In the interest of time, we'll call an audible, but I definitely gotta tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Nut shit, kind of similar to your story. Way back, I was in high school, so my brother had to be, what, I was like 17, he had to be like 11.
Right.
Like 11 years old. I'm in the basement, trying to, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, I actually get it down, I actually, you know what I mean, we go, like, the way my parents' basement was, like, you, the bathroom is, you know, in the back.
Yeah.
So we go to the back, we go into the bathroom. And I'm gonna get a little graphic because it matters. So I put the condom in the toilet.
Right.
Well, first off, we in the bathroom, the door's open in the bathroom. Because it's like, I kept it open because I needed to hear somebody was coming down the steps. And you don't want to just have a door closed. And they know we both down there,
and
we both in the bathroom, and we can't hear. So that way we can hear, and then somebody walk out.
Yeah.
And then I'll just be, you know what I mean, shut the door or something. So I put the condom, like, well, first we, you know what I mean, in the bathroom. I just see a body just walk past the door. Just walk past the door.
While y'all was both in there.
While we both was in there, and the door was open. We like. So I was scared. I was like.
Both of y'all
so
like
I just shut the door. I was seeing her like,
I was in the head from the bed. You're like,
no. She was like, so I shut the door. Yeah. I shut the door real quick. So I hear Rel. You know, it was my mom. She gonna hear this. I'm like, that's what y'all was doing. That is all right. Don't matter now. But
yeah.
But no, it's my mom. So my mom walks past again, and I hear Darrell talking to her. So I'm like, oh, Rel on some cool shit. You know what I'm doing. So they trying to distract her and shit. So she go back up the steps. I hear Darrell, you know, and he's looking around. He calling for both of us and shit like a dumbass. I'm like, why you keep calling for us? You know we in the back. Like, how you doing that, you nut ass nigga? Like, so anyway. So he goes away. So she comes out. I go out. And we like, whew, that was lucky. That was close or whatever. So we leave. I get a phone call. This is when I didn't have a car, so I was on a bus. I used to get on a bus with her and take her all the way back to Germantown, make sure she got there safe. And I would hop back on the bus and come back.
Damn.
So, like, I you know, high school, puppy love, we was dedicated.
Yeah, that's a job.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I hopped on a train. I mean, I hopped on the bus, went up 65, went all the way up to Germantown, Shelton or whatever. Yeah. And, you know what I mean, got on the XH, came up there, you know what I mean, then hopped back on the XH.
I'm back on the 65.
Yeah. I'm in like Roxborough. I'll never forget. I'm on like Walnut Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I get a phone call from my pop. This is back when I had a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know what I mean? Had 2 years I had a cell phone. It had to be like 05, 04 or something.
Shit.
So I pick up my phone. It's my pop. Hey, what's up, pop? Like, hey, Earn, listen, man. I said, oh, shit. You know how you start getting nervous because somebody starts saying stuff like you know they know something.
Mm-hmm. They like slow walking over.
Yeah, he just like, hey, man, listen, do me a favor, all right? Next time you decide to do something downstairs, make sure you flush the toilet.
Oh.
Because what can you say? Yeah, I'm like, my dumb ass. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Hey, now,
so
now he was so into telling me.
He like, Darrell came all the way up the steps, brought me downstairs, and said, "Dad, what's this in the toilet?" Make wonders if you listening to this right now, bro. Fam,
snake wonders,
snake wonders,
snake blunders.
Yeah.
Yo.
yo, the Tell Hospital. Like,
yeah.
But he, yo, he told my pop, he like, what's that, dad? My pop looked at that joint like, nothing. Flushed it.
Yeah, right.
Called me. Like, yo, man, Darrell looked in there. He don't know what that is, man. Like, he like, well, I'm, my mom, my dumb ass, my mom, so he out here just raw dogging bitches at 11? Like, I ain't know. My mom, I was thinking that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I'm like, damn, dog. I can't, and I can't go to him and be like, yo, why would you tell? Like,
he don't know.
He don't
yeah.
know.
So Darrell just did the right thing. He seen something in the toilet that he never seen before. Like, what's so, that?
Yeah, what is it?
My dad like, oh, flush or nothing. It's just something that must have came up from the sewage or something.
Yeah.
So Rel, yeah, I mean, he all innocent when I come back and shit, trying to play games and shit. And I'm all mad at him. He don't even know why I'm mad at him.
It's like, I'm mad at you because I'm mad at me for not,
right, not doing that shit.
Well, I'm mad at you because I fucked up.
Yeah, I messed up, so I'm blaming him because he was curious about some shit he didn't know about.
He was like, you want to play the game? Like, right, come on, you bitch ass.
You ain't gonna tell that shit, right?
Right.
I mean, y'all, you're telling shit. You know what this is, nigga? You know what this is? A loss, nigga. Yes. Like, but nah, man, I had to tell that story, man, because that was some nut shit.
Yo,
it was like
he innocent nut shit.
Yeah, he didn't know. Like, and it was like, and it's sad because that wasn't even our only time getting caught. Like, we was ass. Like, one time. We up in my bedroom. You know how they used to say if a girl went up to your bedroom, keep the door open type shit? Remember people used to say that? Like, if you go up in the bedroom or something, you better not close that door. Like, so we up there. And we didn't really have that issue like that. After a while, they didn't mind if we closed the door. So we closed the door. We up there. My mom's supposed to be making some chicken for us or whatever. So we up there. We decide to get it popping up there. We turn the lights off. We on the floor. Like, we not on the bed. We on the floor. So, we on the floor by the door. Like, just on the floor, just in between. The bed's here, the floor, the door. So, we on the floor. Lights off. Door just swings open. Door swings open. I'm on top of her. Door swings open. It's my pop. He's like, chicken's done. And just shut the door.
Yeah, yeah, honestly, I don't think he was trolling me. I'm like, fam.
Honestly, yo, he real for that. He ain't shut y'all shit down. He just said chicken's done.
Because he didn't expect to see that when we came. First of all, I was ugly as shit. I was all sweating on the floor and shit. I looked up, the light hit me. I'm like, ugh. I looked up and shit.
That's the worst state you could be caught in, yo. This is the most vulnerable, ugly state you could be caught in.
Vulnerable as shit. My dick is hard. I'm laying on top of this girl. And next thing you know, I look up. I'm sweaty, ugly. I'm like, ugh. And she just, and I'm caught. Smashing in my parents' house on the floor. I'm not even on a bed. Yeah, I ain't got no dignity. I'm not even on a bed. I was on a floor with her. Open the door. He like, chicken's done. And just shut the door. Matter of fact, he ain't look down. He looked down one time and said, chicken's done to the, like, he said it straight. He's looking straight when he said it, yo. Because he looked down and expected to see us on the floor. He was like, chicken's done. And he looked, and he pointed
this way. Yo, you down there. I said, chicken's done.
He pointed. He was like, he's like, oh my chicken's God. Done. And he shut the door, yo.
Yo. Yo.
Oh.
Yo.
Oh my god, yo.
Oh god.
All right, we'll call an audible because we in the interest of time.
Oh shit.
The Grammys. Y'all seen the Grammys?
I just seen one performance.
I didn't even see any of it. I literally only saw that.
That video of Big Sean telling Hip Boy.
Yeah, that's what I seen.
That's literally all I saw.
I seen that, and I seen the Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak performance. That's it.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I'm in the same boat. I honestly, I didn't really care about it.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about war shows. I watched Avengers Endgame instead.
Yeah, I mean, I like to see, like, they gave Nas album of the year.
For his first
rap album of the year for his first Grammy.
Yep.
I think it was just one of those overdue type situations where it was like, I'm glad Nas got a... King's Disease was great anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Even I don't think he should have went over Freddie.
Freddie Gibbs, I think Royce. I think Royce's album was so underrated, but I also think it went over everybody's head. So
that, I do think it was an overdue thing too, because if I had to pick a Nas album, I don't think I would have. He should have been got a Grammy then.
Yo, he should have got it.
Yo, Life is Good. Could have got a Grammy
then. Should have got it for Nasir, yo.
No. Should have got if a cop shot the kid. Yeah.
No, not that one. I would have wrote a letter, yo.
Yo, y'all don't understand. Ayo, love that beat. Yo,
don't listen to anything he's talking about because
Ayo, love that beat.
Yo. That beat just, oh my God, man. It just made me want to just like do bad shit to people.
We going to have a.
The guy tried to get like, why are you rapping over that? I'm not rapping over repetitive Slick Rick. I'm not doing that.
I'm the only person who loves that song, yo.
Yo, I just can't get with it, yo. I can't get past the beat.
That song is trash.
Thank you. No, it's not. Thank you.
It's the greatest song Nas ever created in his life. It's actually the greatest song that Nas or Kanye has been a part of.
Yo, you gotta go. Listen, man, chicken's done. Chicken is done.
We must end this now.
But nah, cause I honestly don't know, dog. I honestly would have been like, yo, for real. I would have gave it to him for
Life is Good should have won it.
Life is good. I think that was like the perfect balance of Nas and excellent production. That's his best produced album.
That joint was crazy.
Bro. Yeah, it was like the best production I've ever heard of Nas.
And it might be Nas' most vulnerable album.
Yeah.
It had everything. It was a perfectly balanced album.
Yeah. It had a bunch of different joints on there where it was like, I felt like Nas was in the, like it had a bunch of different energy tracks on it.
Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't cool on his tracks, so Nas be cool on every track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it gave you everything. It gave you the singles. It gave you like the love songs. He gave you like super lyricism. Yeah, he gave you Nas energy and all the beats were good. Like it was good.
Yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's my favorite Nas album because I listen to hip hop because I'm a hip-hop fan, but I'm a jazz fan first. I'm a, like, Motown oldies fan. Like, I'm a Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind & Fire, Anita Baker, Gino Vanelli. Like, I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, so when I listen to rap, I listen for dope lyrics, but it has to be some dope production. And it doesn't have to necessarily be soulful production, but it has to be some kind of musical element to it. Like, I listen to instrumental music before I listen to music with voices and words. So for me, hearing Nas, I always loved Nas, but I always was very indifferent about his beats. So I was like, I was like, oh yeah, Nas, that's cool, whatever. But it was a bunch of like, it was Boom Pat, certain Jones. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, but like
Nas had a bunch of lo-fi beats.
Yeah, I love those type of songs and stuff. But like, I'm more of a element guy. Like, that's why Kanye hit me so hard when he came out with College Dropout and stuff. When I heard the violins and Mary Ben-Ari in there and John Legend, like all of these people singing, it felt soulful. I'm like, oh yeah, this is it right here. So Nas was just he was missing that. And then when he got like when the intro came on, I was like, oh shit, that like when that joint came on, I think it's called No Introduction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, this is the Nas album I was waiting for. Yeah. He had everything on that joint.
He did, even though King Disease was fire. Hit Boy put his foot in his in this album.
Did. Absolutely,
he went crazy. I just didn't think it should have won. I'm not mad at it did win, but I don't think it should have won.
Yeah, I feel like King's Disease shouldn't have won, but I'm happy Nas won.
Yeah,
like, that's
not,
how I feel.
Yeah, like, I'm not mad at it. Like, my personal favorite for the one that should have won was either was Freddie's album or Royce. And I went with Freddie's album because that shit was bananas.
Yo, I literally listened to that today on the way here and while I was getting ready to come here.
Yeah.
I listen to Freddie Gibbs every day.
Yeah.
I knew
Freddie Gibbs is amazing.
Yeah, I love Freddie Gibbs, but I just knew he wasn't going to win, unfortunately, because we know what the Grammys are about.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, man.
We know what the Grammys are about. We know what the Oscars are about. We know what they're about at this point. Everything is a political push.
It's a political push, and the people that went on the same three labels.
Yeah, and then on top of that, they're so staggered. Like, everything is delayed. It's almost like how Africans wear G-Unit. Sorry. Like, Africans wear G-Unit because, like,
we just alienate our African beats.
Yeah, like, you know how where they wear, like, whoever the team was that lost, they wear their championship merch. Hey, yo, like, I shouldn't have said that, but they do ship that shit over there. Like,
I thought I was the only... I'm sorry. I thought I was the only one who noticed, like,
I ain't gonna say I thought I was the only one who noticed, but like, I never spoke on it. Yeah. Like, yo, it's like, you can tell somebody is African just by the way they dress. like
you can't know.
It's a new dude. It's a new dude that work at my job. I'm not gonna say his name, but I see him, and first of all, I found out he was Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
But when I seen him, I was like, oh, this nigga African. He's African. But I was like, I just been looking at the way he dressed, and like sometimes you can tell just by like the like it's weird. It's a weird spot, but like the back pockets of his jeans, like the design, I'd be like. I don't know that jump. And I just be like, it's like the layering of his shirts and shit like that.
Yeah, you just know like, when niggas.
You African and shit. You are African, yo. You African and shit. I can tell. But like you said, they always wear like the out, like you said, like African still wear G. Yo, that was like 04 or something. Like that was early.
Yo. They like real rap, like they really do like wear you be like, yo, why do you still have that? And they just got it.
I'm like, what kind of Jesus do? Lloyd Banks.
But they still wearing the
I'm like, all right, you got it.
What kind of Jesus though?
But they still wearing the baggage of bow jeans and shit.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He said, what Jesus does? Lloyd Banks.
Lloyd Banks. You know, Eric's always smiling and shit with everything. Like, Lloyd Banks.
But they're going to press us about this.
They're like, Lloyd Banks, they should be like,
yo. We're going to definitely get pressed about this one.
Damn. No, you know what, though? No. Oh, Eric's is cool people. I love their energy. No, listen. I'm not racist in the slightest bit.
Their energy.
Y'all great. It's just sometimes y'all
wear jeans.
Yeah, sometimes y'all wear Lloyd Banks jeans. I don't know. Like,
he said, mean, what kind of jeans are those?
Said, Lloyd Banks. He said, what kind of jeans are those? Lloyd Banks.
Oh my God.
Yo. He said he got them Tony Hayos on.
Tony Hayo polos on.
Yo, did you?
Yo. I mean, like, yo.
What kind of jeans is
Beggar
Mercy
12? How do your jeans Beggar Mercy
12? You got the Beggar
Mercy 12.
Your jeans are 12. Yo, you got the Hunger for More threes, yo. My man said he got the Hunger for More threes on.
Yo, your jeans are 12.
How your jeans got a number?
Yo, your jeans the Beggar Mercy 12.
Yo, what kind of polo is that? Is it the Massacre 5? Massacre 5 collection.
Like, should they ever even release that?
That wasn't a thing.
Yo,
you doing that coming to America smile and shit the whole time.
The Massacre 5
series. Oh, Massacre 5 series.
Oh my God, I got Peter.
He's like, what?
Yeah.
You smile harder. Like,
smile. You smile harder. She said, Massacre 5 collection. Said, what?
Yo, he said, what kind of hat is that? I smell pussy tits.
I just followed her immediately. He said, I smell pussy tits.
Then they asked him, what your sneakers? I'm a Warrior 7.
Warrior 7 featuring Eminem.
And you see my belt is straight out of Cashville.
It's in my belt.
My belt is straight out of Cashville. Holy shit. I smell pussy tits. My belt straight out of Cashville. Yo.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Yo, I'm done with y'all, yo.
Yo, Africans, I love y'all, man. Yeah. We love y'all, but...
We love y'all, but still.
That was... Damn. Yo, my belt is straight out of Cashville.
Oh, God.
Yo.
So, anyway.
All right, we'll try to wrap it up, man. Fuck. We'll try to wrap it up. So what? Before we do the would you rather, the flowers of the week go to it's a personal flowers of the week goes to Battalion Chief Lisa Forrest from the Philadelphia Fire Department. She is the first African American female captain and female chief in the Philadelphia Fire Department 150 year history.
Dang.
This week is 150 years since the Philadelphia Fire Department was created, and it took literally 143 years for a woman to excel to the rank of captain. About 143 years for a woman to excel to the rank of captain in the Philadelphia Fire Department. And it took 149 years for a woman to excel to the rank of chief.
Damn.
So, wow. That's how long. And for some reason, white boys still think it's an injustice. We got one fucking chief. One chief.
Who bust her ass
to get there. There have been hundreds of years.
One chief.
Who bust her ass to get there. She
earned that. You goofs been in there for 100 and some odd years. We get one chief and all of a sudden everybody's starting to throw it. But that's what they do. That's a microcosm of America. That's what they do. When one thing doesn't seem to go their way 100%, they go crazy. But that's a whole nother story. Bottom line is, this is about Chief Forrest. Shout out to Chief Forrest. Much love. She was actually my mentor, my first officer. I was her first rookie as a captain, so I feel proud that she was my first officer. She teaches with discipline. She teaches with the values of hard work and knowing your job. So much love to her. I really appreciate everything you've done. We have to give you your flowers because you, my sister, are Black history and you are American history. So that's the flowers of the week. You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Salute to her, yo.
That's well deserved.
That's so
good.
Yeah,
that's big, man.
Yeah, so I just feel like
ain't no injustice.
That's history, man. That's history. And we gotta really big up, especially our Black women. Big them up, especially if they're doing, like, you know, y'all have carried this world on y'all backs. Nurtured children of all races. So we don't deserve Black women. So we have to make sure that they know their place on the earth because they are the most marginalized. We say that all the time. So I just wanted to give our flowers to Chief Lisa Forrest from the Philadelphia Fire Department. Much love, Chief. Thank you for everything. I got I was in a motivational mood. Y'all can see I started off like that. And I think it kept me in a lighthearted mood. I don't have a really impossible would you rather. Or
thank
whatever.
Goodness.
Nah, I don't have. And it's not even like a crazy would you rather. You got three choices. Would you rather get? Would you rather have a 850 credit score? $2 million. And I seen this, and I want to know y'all. $2 million in cash. Or $4,000 a week for the rest of your life.
Shit.
Wait. Say it again.
850 credit score, $2 million in cash, or $4,000 a week for life.
Four stacks a week.
That credit score isn't powerful, though.
I ain't taking the credit score. I'm taking the $4,000.
You can make your credit score that with the $4,000.
Yeah, I might do the $4,000.
Yeah, I'm doing the $4,000.
I'm gonna do the $4,000.
You can get the most out of the $4,000.
Yep. Yeah, I'm gonna do the $4,000.
You'll make more than two.
Yeah, and then like
$2 million.
First, okay.
It'll take 10 years to make $2 million. But however, you that's past 10 years. You made more than four racks a week.
Yeah, I'm good. And
four
then,
racks a week?
Yeah. Yeah. More than enough to you live tripping. And get your credit score.
Crazy. And then I know me with that $2 million because when I come into some wealth, whatever, I got to trick off a little bit. Like, I got to blow it a little bit just to get out of my system.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to take the 4 a week.
Yeah, you take the 4 a week. It's steady. It's consistent. You know it's coming back. Every week you know four racks coming in. You can invest that
And make way more.
Yeah, and make way more than two.
You can put two towards your debt every week. Two, three towards your debt. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
your bills stay paid. Yeah, your bills stay paid, so your credit score jumps to 850.
Yeah, and then that gives you, because you have the windfall, because you know it's coming weekly. You can be dangerous and do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
it's freedom.
Like if you were conservative one week and you spent $1,000, you have three racks before the other four come in.
Yeah.
So then you got seven. And then if you use two of that, you got five going into the next four, and that's nine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, your shit going to keep, you know what I mean?
It never stops. Like, you're good no matter what.
Yeah. I would take the 4K. It wasn't no hard.
I did the 4K.
Would you rather? I just
cause that two,
figured I would stay on that type time.
Out that two, I'm blowing it. And I know I'm going to blow that two on. It's gonna be great.
It's going to be cocaine?
Not even that. Because I'm a blow, but it's a rational blow. Pause.
I'm glad I put myself.
So it's like, all right, I got two. So I gotta set aside some for the fam, which is fine. Then for the homies, then I gotta buy some dumb shit.
Yeah.
So
and then you gotta make that. You gotta make that two stretch, and like people don't realize how fast $2 million can go.
Yeah, $1 million ain't shit.
$1 million will go fast.
It go like that. So I gotta make it stretch, and then I'm like, so I'd rather get the four, and I can just keep building and building.
Especially if you want some nice stuff.
Yeah, and most of us, if we in a career, you're going to make $1 million over your career.
Exactly.
Like, you're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars, close to $1 million. You're going to net that. I mean, you're going to at least gross that much throughout your career.
And, like, two ain't shit. Like, think about it. Like, people's like, oh, I'm going to get $1 million, buy a house. So your house is, me being generous, between $250 and $5. That's half down. No, fuck that. The taxes, half that down already.
Yeah.
Or 33% of that, gone. Right. Then I'm buy a house, gone. Debt, well, however much debt you have going, then your friends and family fund.
Right.
Then the shit you're going to trigger off is blown already.
Yeah, I would take, if I had $2 million though, I would absolutely take at least $500 of that and put it somewhere where it's going to work. Like you have to, like, I would invest in some kind of apartment building, something that keeps the money going, because $2 million, like you say, well, you'll lose that.
You'll lose that.
I take $1.5 million and say that's mine, and maybe put half of that in like the savings or something or whatever, and then that million, that's when I divvy it up, like get the crib for $250 or, you know, whatever, but you got that five, and you got that other $500 working for you. Like that other half a mil, you invested it in something where it's just working for you and growing.
You put it in, like, say if you want to do digital currency, put it in Bitcoin, NFTs, and hopefully, and let it build for you. Or if you want to put in a savings account, get a high yield in a savings account, or try to do like a money market if they still have those, or IRA or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Let's try to make it work for you, but you know you're going to have the windfall blowing it, so that's why I'd rather have the four. That way I keep getting and keep getting and keep getting.
You know that four coming every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know
that four
week.
Rex is coming.
It's coming every week. And then it makes you safer because you know the wolves is out here.
Yeah. And you got like you four racks like every week
every
coming
week,
in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and people make that, you know, doctors and stuff like that. They make it because it's only 200-something thousand year.
But you make that, and then...
Yeah, you making that every week, though?
Like, you're good.
That's
and then
super love.
Even with doctors making it, like, their debt-to-income ratio is fucking crazy, so it's a net.
Yeah, and like, but you know, like, you're getting that 4X every week. You know, like, even if your mortgage is $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month, you know, 1 week
it will cover the whole thing.
Yeah. So you take two of it because you can't use the whole thing. So you take two of it 1 week, two of it the second week. That's your mortgage, and you got at least two, and you know the other four is coming, and you could like you could take that $4,000 and invest, and that'll grow, and just keep throwing it in to invest, and you got money growing on this side. You got the four coming in,
and it's income always coming in, so you know like you have a windfall.
It don't stop after, like I said, in 10 years, you'll make that $2 million.
Yeah.
But it's still $4,000 a week.
And
you won't even see how much, you know what I mean?
You'll make the $2 million if you don't do anything. If you do something with it, you're going to make way more than that.
Oh my God, right.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was all I had, man. I ain't want, I kept it, I think we had enough laughs for the night. So I ain't want to go too much into it.
And plus, when we got that $4,000, you know, just go to Vegas and blow it on ecstasy and strippers.
So yeah, wild, damn.
I ain't gonna hold you, man.
Make sure you got on your beg for mercy twice.
Well, yeah, man. Anybody got anything coming up? Anybody?
Nah, nothing.
Nah, just nothing. You know, beats.
Beats.
As always.
Beats.
I'm working on a playlist for this month. It should be out by the end of the month, though.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Something for the ladies.
Hey, man, anything?
No, usual. Off Squirt every Monday. Bastards every Wednesday. Save for Quitting every Thursday.
Yeah.
Got some new cool stuff coming, though, that y'all should be on the lookout for.
Hell yeah.
That more information will be given out as the time draws nearer.
Yes, nice, 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 nice. That's what I like to hear, player. You know what I'm saying? As for myself, I got some really cool shit coming down the pipeline for myself. New music coming. J-Mar, Mar Majors, formerly known as J-Mar, coming out. Executive produced, Things Change, will be dropping. We'll be giving an official date within the next week or so. Maybe by next episode, we'll give y'all a nice official date, but we are on the home stretch of that project. So, sounding really good. I'm really proud of them. Maybe we'll get them on here. Maybe we'll get a chance to bring them in, and we can all chop it up, you know what I mean? And, you know, promote the project a little bit, talk about some things.
He's good to have that the Bastards listening party for that.
Yo, I'm definitely trying to have a listen, we could do the Bastards listening party, the reactions. We talked about a couple things we going to shelve and they don't know about, you know what I'm saying, that y'all ain't going to be able to hear. We had an idea for something really cool, so we might actually try to materialize that at some point. But yeah, this was cool, man. Good talk. So I guess it's been another week of the Glorious Bastards, man.
Yeah, man. I got straight out of Cashville belt.
Straight out of Cashville, you know what I mean? The beg for mercy.
I can't get over that.
So for Ant-Man.
You.
Ayo got the sauce. And Jay Spread.
Dang shit.
I am E-Haas. And thank y'all for joining us. We'll catch y'all next week. Much love.